philosopher and a renowned author, and author of a number of best-selling books. In one of those books, he tells the story of how one February day he was feeling very badly physically, and so he decided that it was time for the checkup. He called and made an appointment with the doctor, and at the appointed time arrived at the doctor's office. When he got there, he noticed in the waiting room that there was an elderly couple who seemed a bit odd. She actually had poinsettia leaves and berries in her hair. And he leaned over and said to Mr. Fulgham, "Merry Christmas." And Fulgham kind of just shook his head and replied, "Merry Christmas to you as well." Soon the nurse called the other gentleman into the doctor's office, and when she did, she referred to him as Uncle Ed. And when the man was seeing the doctor, Fulgham entered into a conversation with this elderly woman. And she said, "I guess you noticed that my husband was acting a bit strangely. I want to tell you about why that is." He said, "A few years ago, he had a couple of strokes. And after the strokes, he began to act strange. And one day, he got up and he said to me, 'I forgot that this was Christmas.' And it was in March. He said, 'I think it would be wonderful for us to decorate the house, have some special lunch, invite the family in, wrap some presents, and celebrate Christmas.'" So his wife thought, "Can't hurt anything. I think I'll do it." And so she did just that. And they had a wonderful day. And every few months after that, her husband would get up and say, "I forgot, it's Christmas again today." And they would go through the same thing. And every time, it was a wonderful occasion. In one of these situations, he said to his wife, "Would you tell me about the Christmases of my childhood?" Now, they had known each other all of their life, and she knew about his childhood. There were no Christmases. The fact is that his father was an alcoholic and a very abusive person and would beat both he and his mother ruthlessly. But she thought, "What can it hurt? I will help him to remember good Christmases." And so she spun yarns about Christmas, and he listened to them and really entered into them and owned them as his own stories. And time after time, he would say, "Tell me about my Christmases." And she would go through the same stories, always to his delight. Well, Christmas had become a surprise. You never knew when Christmas would take place. Now, there are at least three ways that Christmas was a surprise to the world and can provide a surprise to us. For instance, the first Christmas was certainly a surprise. It should not have been, the prophets predicted it, the priests of Israel preached about it, the nation of Israel anticipated it, but in spite of all that, the day that Christ was born was a surprise to everyone involved. For instance, it was certainly a surprise to Mary. You know, the angel came to announce to Mary that she was chosen to be the mother of the Lord. And she responded by saying, "How can this be, seeing that I have never known a man?" A young girl, probably 14 years of age, actually engaged to be married. Pregnant? What a surprise that really was. Joseph was certainly surprised. You remember the story. He was looking forward to being married to Mary. And then he finds out that she's pregnant. He probably was not only frustrated, but angry. I can almost picture Joseph saying to Mary, "How did this happen?" Then the angel came to Joseph and said to him, "Don't be angry, Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for this thing is of God. And this baby that will be born shall be called the Son of God." Well, the shepherds were surprised, weren't they? They were gathered under the night sky, having put their sheep to sleep or to bed in the pasture. They were probably sitting around the fire, sharing stories of their shepherding experiences, when suddenly the glory of God filled the whole sky and the angels came to announce that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then there was a whole host of angels that sang together announcing the birth of Jesus. Certainly Herod was surprised. You remember that he spoke to the wise men and said, "Go find this child that is to be born King of the Jews and tell me where he is that I may worship him too." We know better than that. He was so shocked and afraid that he had a whole generation of male babies killed. The whole nation of Israel was surprised. It wasn't that they didn't expect the Messiah. It was that they didn't expect him the way God sent him. Would you have done it that way? I wouldn't have. I would have sent him in some kind of special super duper spaceship so that all the world would know it. But you see, we can't predict how God will handle the matter. He does things differently. And so the nation of Israel was so surprised that their blinded eyes could not take it in. At any rate, the prophet had said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Well, you could read a lot into those words, but certainly the one clear meaning is that Christ was born, the Messiah as a baby, God in the manger. Our problem is that the human race somehow believes that we have God figured out. We somehow think that we can predict exactly what God would do and how he would do it. A number of years ago, I was involved in the construction of a church building in St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. Now, there is a four-lane highway that narrows down just before it gets to St. Mary's. I've often wondered why a four-lane highway leading into St. Mary's, not a very large town. But in a piece of property just off of that main drag, we were in the process of building a new church for the congregation there. We hadn't cleared the wooded area away yet, and so the church was obscured from the vision of people entering on the highway. There was an electrician from the congregation who was doing the wiring, and he and his wife were there very late one night as Christmas was being approached. And they had finished wiring the steeple. And the electrician said to his wife, "You stay in here. I want to see how it looks." And so he stepped outside as she turned the lights on. And if you can imagine, the light from those spotlights shone up on the steeple and went higher, very far into the sky. And at just that time, there was a car full of local citizens who had just left the saloon a half a mile down the road. And as they drove by, they saw this beam of light in the sky, and they had no idea what it was. There were rumors the next day that it was everything from a miraculous appearing of God to some kind of an outer space vehicle landing in the area. They were surprised, just as the world was surprised at the birth of our Lord. Now, if you have ever experienced the true message of Christmas, then you know what it means to be surprised. And if you haven't, you need to. Listen to what the angel said to Mary. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, in the Old Testament, the name for God was Jehovah. Or in the Hebrew, Hoshea, which, by the way, means help, salvation. Put the two together, and you got Joshea, or Joshua, which is Jesus in the New Testament. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Do you know that salvation is really what Christmas is all about? May I ask you a question? What difference does it make? I'm going to ask it anyhow. And those who are more alert know that. Have you been saved? I don't just brush that off. Have you been saved? I used to hate that statement. I didn't like that question. I thought the implications of it were absurd. Have you been saved? Well, people have different responses to a question like that. There are those who would say, "Pastor, that's a radical idea." It certainly is. But then it takes something radical to deal with the issue of sin inside of every one of us. I've seen what sin can do. I've seen that sin can rob a person's reputation and cause incredible pain, destroying families and people themselves. If there is any one thing I have learned from my experience of actually 47 years of ministry, it is that sin is destructive, and we need salvation to counter the problem of sin, radical treatment. Now, we have a number of nurses here today, and they know perhaps better than most of us how radical you have to treat cancer. Surgery. If not surgery, then chemotherapy or radiation. You know how radical Jesus said sin must be dealt with? If you're I offend you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. You see, sin is dangerous stuff. And so Jesus said we must deal with it radically. Have you done that? Have you been saved? Somebody else says, Pastor, that's a personal question. That's none of your business. I'm sorry. I don't mean to intrude. But that's what my business is all about. That's what I do for a living. Is ask you, have you been saved? And press it as hard home to you as I know how. That's what Christmas is about, you see. Have you been saved? Has there been in your life that experience that brings you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? In the song that Lulu just sang, she talked about Jesus being in us. In us. Is He in you? In the form of the Holy Spirit? Yes, that's a personal question. There's nothing more personal in all your life than salvation. Accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't made that personal, if you haven't taken that step, then before this service is over, I urge you, be saved. Somebody else said, that's a transforming experience. And it certainly is. It's transforming because it changes our life. Listen to what the text that was read earlier says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present world. Many years ago, about 29 to be exact, I had the wonderful privilege of leading a very bright and capable young man to the Lord. We prayed together, and for a period of time, he was a vibrant, vibrant Christian. He quit three jobs when jobs were hard to get, because he had witnessed to everybody on the job and they had either accepted the Lord or they didn't, and so he needed a new mission field. But then he drifted away from God. And about 6 years ago, I think it was, he called me. Oh, he called me often. But he called me and told me that he was coming to visit. And on a Sunday morning, he knelt right down here. And he rededicated his life to Christ. He still calls me. He's a tough, rough drug interventionist for the United States government. Flies a Black Hawk helicopter. But I wish you could hear his testimony. What a difference God has made in his life, how it healed his marriage and actually revitalized him. But then again, with regard to answers prayer, do you know that God answers prayer? Sometimes we get surprised when he does. God is changing people. God is changing situations. And God is interested in answering the prayers of people. I better get on with it. It's getting, oh, no, I looked at that wrong. I've got 10 minutes yet. You see, when you become a Christian, God enters your life in many different ways, and He is there to minister to every need that you represent. But then, thirdly, Christmas was intended to be God's surprise for the whole world. You remember that very familiar, favorite scripture verse? For God so loved the world, say it with me, would you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know what terrible shape the world is in today? Chaos, war, and rumors of war all around us. The terrorists accomplished their purpose on September 11th. Go to any airport and you'll discover that. We hear it daily. Terror fills the hearts of men. Our president said not very long ago, before the end of the year 2004, we can expect another major terrorist attack. It hasn't happened, but every day people watch for it to happen. Let me read another part of the scripture that we heard this morning. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Humanity, God's greatest, highest form of creation, had been a disappointment. Instead of embracing peace, humanity has embraced war. Instead of embracing generosity and love, humanity has embraced greed and hate. So God sent His Son to be born as a baby to become the Savior of the world. He is no longer a baby. He sits at the right hand of His Father, making intercession for us. But one day He's coming back. Make no mistake about it. The world who rejected Him will know what's happened. And He will break through the skies, coming as a thief in the night. It will be a surprise to many. And as He does, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air, and so shall we be with Him forever. When will it happen? I don't know. He says that I will be in my coming like a thief in the night. It will be a surprise. But the question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? That perhaps is the greatest, most important question you could ask in this Christmas season. Am I ready to meet my Lord when He comes again? May we pray. Our Father, we look back over history and understand that Your first coming was a surprise. to many when it should not have been. Today, as we sit in this place of worship, please do not allow your second coming to be a shock to any of us. Help us to be prepared and found waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand with me as we sing Christ Returneth, hymn 132.